to one at all on a warm and beautiful November 8th. If you had no other reason to rejoice today, then this weather alone is enough. But we do have ample cause to rejoice today because God has called us His own. And He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to redeem us. And He is with us here this morning. And that means whatever else is going on in the world, we have ample cause to rejoice and to celebrate today as we remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, what He will continue to do for us through ages past and ages yet to come. And so as we gather here this morning, I want to welcome you here. It is good to be gathered together as the body of Christ this morning. It is good to be able to celebrate together. And as we begin our service, let me mention a few announcements. I want to note the Shady Oak Bible Study coming up Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I note that time change Wednesday, no longer on Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. And then there is also a Tuesday night Bible study at 7 p.m., which I believe is still happening at the Theason House. Is that right?
I thought it had been happening.
Or has it been happening here?
Yeah.
We will send an update out on Facebook reminding where that is being held. I'm sure we confirm that. We've got the B team in here today. Are there any other announcements we should... Oh, there is one other announcement that we should make this morning. It is shoebox time for Operation Christmas Child. Every year we collect items for making shoeboxes. However, this year is going to be a little different. Because of the COVID restrictions, because of the difficulty in having our Sunday school kids do it here at the church, instead we are going to donate differently. Instead of raising the idols for the shoeboxes, we're instead just going to do an offering for the shoeboxes instead. For $25 on the Christmas Child website, Operation Christmas Child website, a box can be filled. For $9, a box can be shipped. And so we want to invite you, if you want to participate in that, to simply fill out a check or fill out your gifts and mark on it shoeboxes and just stick it in the offering plate along with your offering, and we'll designate those funds toward the Operation Christmas Child. And they will take care of processing all of that at their plant. We'll do it over online, so we won't do it here. A little bit different this year, but we still want to raise that money to send those shoeboxes. So please be thinking of that as the Christmas season approaches. And if you have any more questions, talk to Joy Matheson or Kathy Thompson or Melanie Bird. And I know the Sunday School, the Ladies Aid, the Outreach, and others in Stillwater are planning to donate money in this way. So anything you can contribute is helpful and towards a good cause for Operation Christmas Child. Are there any other announcements that we should make this morning?
I don't know if you might want to just let everybody know. We talked at the board meeting the other night about putting tree up and that kind of thing. It's not going to be a congregation thing this year. It'll be, I don't know, two or three of us, so we'll just put it up properly.
So, yeah, what Sharon just mentioned was decided at the board meeting that, again, because of the COVID restrictions and social distancing and things, we will still put the tree up for the Advent season, but rather than having the whole church stay after and do it, it'll just be set up during the week by two or three volunteers. So we will not stay behind on that Sunday this year to set the tree up, but it will be set up. So look forward to that. And Advent is coming up soon, just a few short weeks away. And so something to look forward to. Well, as we begin our worship this morning, I want to turn to our call to worship from Psalm 71, verses 1 through 4. And I read in the name of the Lord. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. Let us reflect on these words with a moment of silence as we begin our service this morning. Almighty God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather here together as your people this morning to be reminded again that you are our rock and our fortress, that you are a strong deliverer and mighty to save. Lord, as we flee to you for refuge this morning, may we be reminded again that we have a mighty fortress that can never be assailed or destroyed, that we have a secure place upon which we can fix our hope today. And I pray that as we gather here, that you would renew our joy, that you would restore unto us the joy of salvation, that you would remind us again of your loving presence here with us in the challenges of this life, and that we would be encouraged and blessed as a result of this gathering here today. Bless this service now. Bless those gathered here. I ask in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as we begin, I invite you to stand as you're able and join us as we sing together our opening hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our..." Time of prayer and confession as we confess our sins to God and as we seek His forgiveness. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, and by your grace, we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And let us confess together our shared faith as it is expressed in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You. Thank You that we can come before You today as people in need of grace, as sinners, as people who have fallen short, and who by all rights have no recourse, have no claim to Your mercy. And yet because of the love that You have shown us in Jesus Christ, we can confess to You our sin and we can know that we are forgiven. That we can come before You seeking Your grace and know that we will receive it because it is promised to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, You know that in this world there are troubles. You have promised us as such. But Lord, You have also promised us that we need not face those trials alone, and so we thank You for the invitation that we have to lay our knees at Your feet. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling here today. Lord, You know there are many troubles in this life that can beset us. I pray for those who are facing relationship struggles today. I pray that You would bring grace and healing into their lives. I pray for those who are struggling with physical challenges today, with health. I pray that You would bring healing and mercy to them. I pray for those who are struggling with fear and anxiety and doubt today. Lord, may You ease their fears. May You remind them that You are God, that You are still at work, that You are with us. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling financially today. May You meet their needs and provide them with their daily bread, with their sustenance they need to make it through today and to tomorrow. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with any situation that is worrying them today. Lord, if there is anyone here or anyone watching this at home today who is burdened, Lord, may You set their heart free from every chain that binds us. And may You remind us that if the Son has set us free, then we are free indeed. May we live in victory today. May we live in freedom today. Not bogged down by the troubles of the here and now, but mindful of the fact that our reward and our treasure and our home is hidden with You in eternity. Father, bless your people. Hear our prayers and answer them according to your unfailing love. And Lord, continue in all circumstances to teach us to pray, even as you have taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Well, we are blessed this morning to have Pastor Eric Reese with us to share God's word. So I invite Pastor Eric forward at this time as he speaks to us from Matthew 25.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As Caleb just mentioned, our scripture for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Please rise as you are able for the reading. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, a cry rang out, Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins, who were ready, went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also roared, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that this is your word. We pray that you would open the mouth of your servant to proclaim that word in truth. And we pray that this same spirit would open the ears and the hearts of its hearers to receive your holy gospel and write on their hearts your holy law as you have promised. In the name of your Son, we pray. Before I begin, I want to zoom out a bit to get some context. Our passage today is a part of a larger response given by Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible, you may have noticed that chapters 23 through 25 are just about entirely red. This is a part of the final long discourse of Jesus. In fact, this discourse concludes with Jesus saying, You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming. The Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. At the beginning of chapter 24, Jesus tells his disciples that the temple will be destroyed. So his disciples ask, When will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age? Jesus responds to them by warning against false prophets. He predicts a great tribulation in which they will be greatly persecuted. Jesus tells them that after this distress of the tribulation, the Son of Man, that is He, Jesus, would return, and that He would gather all of those who belong to Him. Jesus then addresses their question about when these things will happen. And He tells them that just as they can predict the arrival of summer by looking at the leaves and the branches of certain trees, so too they will be able to predict His return. By recognizing and seeing the words that Jesus is speaking, by seeing the fulfillment of those words. Now I'm thinking this is not the answer that his disciples were hoping for. Jesus doesn't offer to them a date to mark down on their calendars for his return. And that's the point of our text today. Just as the virgins did not know the exact timing of the bridegroom's arrival, so too we don't know the exact time of Christ's return. Which is why Jesus urges his disciples to keep watch. He calls their attention to his word, that they might see and recognize the fulfillment of his prophecy. When Christ instructs his disciples to be like the wise virgins, it sounds like he's telling them to make sure they have their act together before he returns. I think the point is a bit more nuanced than that. There is another distinction between the wise and the foolish found in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Here, we see that the difference between the wise and the foolish is the direction of their attention. The wise man directed his attention not only to his house, but also to the foundation on which it stood. The wisdom of the virgins is most clearly seen not in their act of being prepared, but in their attention being directed to the bridegroom. And because of that, they were prepared for this, not only for his arrival, but for his delay. This reminds me of how wisdom is talked about in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. It says, "My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be light for you, an ornament to grace your neck." That is what the wise virgins were doing. They weren't letting wisdom out of their sight. They were mindful of their foundation, which in this parable is the bridegroom. They were living in the expectation of the bridegroom's arrival. There isn't a definitive answer about why lamps were needed. Some have assumed that the purpose of these virgins was to light the way for the bridegroom to the wedding banquet. But ultimately, why they needed lamps is not important. What is important was that their top priority was the bridegroom, making sure that they were prepared for him, which meant having enough oil for their lamps. It might seem rude and unusual that these wise virgins were unwilling to share their oil. But in their response, we see their reasoning. They say, "There may not be enough for both us and you." Sharing the oil would have probably been the comfortable thing to do. I think it certainly would have made the situation less awkward. But instead, their attention remains on the bridegroom. Their attention remains on being prepared for his arrival. There was a wealthy man who parked his brand new Porsche in front of his office building, eager to show it off to his colleagues. As he was getting out of the car, a truck sped by and struck the car, completely tearing off the driver's door. Fortunately, a police officer was close enough to see the accident, so he pulls up behind the Porsche. But before the cop had a chance to ask any questions, the man started screaming hysterically about his car, which he had just picked up the day before. After the man finished his rant, the cop shook his head in amazement and disbelief. "I can't believe how materialistic you are," he said. "You are so focused on your possessions, you fail to notice the most important things." "How can you say that?" asked the man. The cop replied, "Didn't you even notice you lost your left arm when the truck struck your car?" "Oh my goodness!" screamed the man. "My Rolex!" Where is your attention directed? Is it on the accumulation of money? Or wealth, possessions, Perhaps it's on your public image, or the image of your family. During a time when our election season overlaps with a pandemic, there is no shortage of things to absorb and dominate our attention. Even setting aside the uniqueness of our situation, just having social media, the internet, email updates all day, every day, 24/7 news outlets, there are a million things screaming for your attention every moment of every day. Not all of them are necessarily bad. But when your attention is no longer on the Word of God, when your attention is no longer held captive by the bridegroom, you are at risk of forgetting your oil. In this time when we feel the delay of our bridegroom, Christ, this delay being made evident by all of the pain and terrible tragedy in the world, I think it's clear we're not currently enjoying the wedding feast. We are still waiting for our bridegroom. Here, Christ calls us out of the distraction of this chaos. He calls us out of the foolish darkness. He directs our attention to our foundation, Him and His Word. He teaches us to watch for Him, telling us that amid all of the uncertainty in this life, we can be sure of this, that our bridegroom directed His attention toward us. Christ directed His attention, His love, to our broken and sinful world, which rejected and killed Him, so that He might offer to us, sinners, salvation and life. This is the greatest news we have ever heard. Don't let it out of your sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You have made. We thank You for the blessings in our lives, and we acknowledge You as the source of all good things. We thank You for Your abundant mercy and patience toward us, which was shown by the sending of Your Son, who has redeemed us, and who we now wait for to return. We ask that our attention would be turned to Your Son, our bridegroom, that we might be found like the wise virgins, ready for Your coming. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric, for sharing God's Word with us. A reminder to fix our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith this morning. And as we respond, let us sing together our closing hymn, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." And would you rise as your hymn, as we sing this morning.
Thank you.